Looking for a job isn't easy. It used to be that you could apply at a big name tech company and build a great career for yourself. But times have changed. Many of these companies have gone full woke. And if you aren't the right gender, ethnicity, you don't use pronouns, or if you're not an activist for the preferred cause, then good luck. Why would you risk your career on that? At Red Balloon, we're connecting good employees with top quality companies that value you for your skills and your work ethic, not your social activism score. Employers who post jobs on Red Balloon are focused on creating an enjoyable and productive work culture, free from divisive woke mandates. So if you want to find a serious career path without the nonsense, come to Red Balloon and post your resume today. Because you shouldn't have to choose between your job and your values. That's redballoon.work, where you can find your future.
Greetings, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this special episode of Liberty Dispatch Interviews. I'm joined by two familiar faces or voices, if you are all connected with us and like wearing some wonderful clothing, or if you're at the Church at War conference, or if you like listening to spicy podcasts and wonderful takes on otherwise evangelifish in the United States. And I'm joined, of course, by Justin and Jesse Gruber, the Carpe Fide boys. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on Liberty Dispatch Interviews.
It is truly our pleasure. No problem. We had no choice. We were forced to do this, and we're not here of our own volition.
And we put the hat on you, too. We force you to do it, and we put the hat on you, and that's all there is to it.
Keep blinking for safety, but no one's coming to help.
They cast a spell. I can't take it off until the interview. It's like, just doesn't.
Well, no one can come to help you from our end because we're not allowed over the border in your country.
Right.
So you guys, no one from Canada is coming to save you, eh? They're not bringing any maple syrup antidote. You're stuck there. You get stuck there, eh? What's that about?
Well, at least it's comfortable, eh? Oh, right. True that.
So for anyone in our audience that isn't familiar with you guys, which is probably a small percentage because our supporters, people connected with us, they're well acquainted with what's going on in Canada, and it probably means they're familiar with your support of Canadian churches here. I know a number of them were at the Church at War conference, and they're also listening to your podcast. But for anyone who's not familiar with you guys, tell us a little bit about Carpe Fide. Where's the name come from? What does it mean? And maybe leading into that, a little bit of the genesis of Carpe Fide. How and why did it start? What's it about? Give us a little bit of that history.
Well, Justin was born on a cold Valentine's Day in 1984.
And it was a Tuesday, I remember distinctly. It was drizzling outside. I'm kidding.
Wait, were you really born in 1984?
Yes, sir. Justin was, yeah.
Yep.
All right. Me too. Yeah, we're the same age.
It's a good year.
We're the beginning of the millennium.
Yes, we're called something else. I don't know. There's different, because we didn't start out with cell phones. That's the big thing, the big defining thing. We didn't begin our lives with cell phones. We got acquainted.
Right, unless you were like super rich and had one of those big plastic things like Zach Morris.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. Nobody had that. Stupid.
Yeah.
Super rich or really dumb. Please.
So that's the origin story, and kind of fast forward 30 years after
yes,
that.
Yes, thank heavens. Well, we began about 2.5 years ago wanting to make a podcast for our church, just as a supplemental interaction apart from our exegetical teaching that we do on Sunday, to connect our church with the biblical perspective on more cultural issues that were going on. And we really intended it to be a resource predominantly for our church and even maybe our local South Jersey area. We began by speaking about New Jersey's wonderful education policies, and that was fantastic. So we dove in right there, and that was our only hope. And I guess I work for UPS, so we started in the summer, and then once November hit, we took like 2 to 3 months off because I couldn't figure out how to do it because I was delivering Christmas packages for everyone.
It's peak season. He's Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then after that is the beginning of 2020. So it was the end of 2019 into 2020, and that's when everything went crazy. And I mean, we had we had kind of rolled into January, like, all right, let's start recording a podcast again. And then it was like, hey, I've got this idea for a t-shirt. Let's make a couple and see if our friends will buy them.
And they were like, no, it's too aggressive. Like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, well, we are aggressive.
Well, now by friends, do you mean TGC?
No.
Are they the ones saying your shirts weren't winsome enough?
No, okay. Put that evil on us.
This was before we were blocked by the TGC, so.
Yeah, yeah. This was before the TGC would have had to know about us. We printed the t-shirt, and then next thing you know, pastors in Canada were started getting arrested and churches got confiscated, and we said, oh my gosh, what can we do? And we're like, nothing, because we have no things. And we're like, well, what if we sold this shirt and generated revenue to help them fight their legal battles and run whatever random churches out of wherever they were going to have to run them now? And so we did that, and that kind of blew up on us.
Yeah,
I think that's accurate.
It was, so we launched, I think it was shortly after James was arrested, and we put out, I think, like, 200 something orders in 48 hours, I think. It was just, and like, we're just two guys in South Jersey, but I mean, Aaron Coates was gracious enough to share it, and people were really on board. And so from Maine to Hawaii, I think even into Alaska, people were buying these Come Take It Pulpit shirts, which you're actually wearing right now. You're wearing the Church at War edition, though.
It's the limited edition. I have the other one, but I figured this is elite right here.
Definitely elite.
And I mean, you know, through that, you know, it's funny, like, just messaging Aaron Coates and being like, hi, I just want you to know that we're praying for you. We're trying to send funds up. And then, you know, she's like, oh my gosh, that's so great. And then we just started talking, and then talking to Canadians like all the time. And, you know, our parents asking us like, what's going on in Canada today? Like, who's talking to you? We'd get throughout the summer, we would get, you know, just messages from all these random places in Canada. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, what province is that? Like what, where are you? And they're like, well, there's no churches that are open. Can you help us? I'm like, we're just two guys in South Jersey.
We don't live in Canada.
I don't know where you are. but through that, I mean, through that, God connected us to some really, really great people. You know, we're friends with a lot of the people over in Nova Scotia at Weston Christian Fellowship. You know, they were heavily ticketed. You know, people throughout Ontario, Saskatchewan, Alberta, of course, even into, what's the left one? The left one is, don't tell me, the left one is...
Left both geographically and politically.
Correct. And politically.
Correct.
Is...
It's above...
New Brunswick?
No, the second word is also a country in South America.
It's above...
British Columbia.
That's
okay.
The one.
Yeah, New Brunswick is to the right, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's so funny. Canadians don't refer to it as left and right. We're like you wouldn't say, "Oh yeah, California's on the left and Maine's on the right."
Well,
you're
sometimes.
Thinking like Pacific Atlantic, and we forgive you. That's fine.
Well, I mean, you have to understand geography
is not an American forte, and we understand.
Prior to any of this, Canada was America's hat to me. I had no idea people lived there.
Yeah.
I knew that there was wildlife and there was hunting.
It was America's toque.
Okay? I do apologize. America's toque.
America's
toque. But now we've enjoyed visiting Canada, which is something I didn't know I'd ever going to say that out loud. But we enjoyed visiting Canada. We've got so many friends up there where we talk with just all the time, people from Canada. We got caught into the vortex of we personally respond to people mostly lately. It's mostly Jesse. My work has been ridiculous the past couple of months, but we personally respond to people on Instagram. So we got message after message after message. And I think people were like, oh wait, these people actually respond. And so that just kind of snowballed into having all these relationships that we now have, which we're so thankful for, that God just directed. God directed. He gave us the ability for some reason to figure out how to print shirts. We have a great printer here in South Jersey who loves what we do, which is great. And to be able to support pastors who are literally getting persecuted in, you know, the 21st century is ridiculous. Like we're able to do that. That was nuts. It was not a work of ours. It was strictly a work of God's. And we've just been trying to hold on tight and follow where he's leading and not let go and, you know, get trampled.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've put out like now, I mean, since then we've put out a bunch of shirts and a lot of them have supported, you know, different Canadian churches or people and stuff like that. So we've supported, Trinity Bible Chapel and, you know, all of that craziness happened there. And then, when Tim Stevens got arrested, we put out that Christ Bodies, Christ Choice shirt, and the medical mask blue.
Medical mask blue, yes.
Medical mask blue. There is an irony there. But, yeah, I mean, that. And we've also supported Liberty Coalition. We love you guys. Chatting with you guys for a while. So.
I love you guys. What do the kids do? They make a heart.
They make a heart.
Love you guys.
Wait.
Oh, we do it together?
There we go.
That's awful. That's, you know what? That's what a heart looks like after three shots of the COVID injection.
The COVID jab.
That's a really good gnarled.
There's stuff hanging from it.
Oh, myocarditis. Yeah.
The COVID shot turns your heart of flesh into a heart of stone.
It does the inverse.
It does the inverse of Ezekiel.
Into a heart of harder flesh.
I think the highlight for me out of all that we were able to do was, I'm just ignoring both of you now. For me was getting the chance to preach Easter Sunday in the pandemic. And we were outside in a backyard and it literally our neighbor's backyard is massive. So we had, the church was there. We had kids running around. And to be wearing that design that you're wearing, the come and take it pulpit design, and then know that there were other pastors. So, I mean, we got the picture of Pastor Aaron Rock that was preaching that Easter in the same shirt in Canada. And it just really meant something for me at that moment to be like, wow, God really took something really stupid and actually did something with it. Yeah.
That's the first time I heard about you guys was I saw Aaron Rock post a picture on social media of the black come and take it, or I think it might have been the army green come and take it pulpit shirt. And I remember seeing it thinking, ooh, where can I get one? And then I talked to the associate at Aaron's church and he said, well, we have a guy going down and kind of smuggling a bunch back in. If you want to put your order in.
Yep.
And then eventually I just didn't get around to it. I thought I'd be able to go into the States myself, but that would work. So that Easter you're talking about, is that Easter 2021?
That was, yeah, Easter,
yeah,
2021.
Easter 2021.
I mean, that was a wild Easter for us in Canada. So that Easter is when LCC had the Church Must Gather initiative. And basically, we called on churches in Canada to say, we will be open and restriction-free Easter weekend, Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. And across the whole country, there were only 70 churches willing to put their name on a public registry saying, we will be open. You can come and worship with us.
Wow.
And all of us, myself included, that week had dozens and dozens of phone calls for people who hadn't been to church for 8 months. And that Easter Sunday morning, when we were gathered before the service started, a bunch of people from our church, we were crying because we were, are police going to show up? Like, are we going to get arrested? Our name's out there publicly. It was a very intense weekend for all of us here in Canada who knew that this was the first time that we all publicly said, literally come and take it. Like, we literally said, here we are, come and get us. And it was quite the time. So I think what you're expressing is the number of people who are like-minded in this way. This is the church-state relationship. This is the lordship of Christ over his church and a willingness to defy tyrannical state mandates. There's a small number of us in North America that think this way about all of these issues. Mm-hmm. And so whenever you find like-minded people, you cling to them because you realize you're not going to find it in Big Eva. You're not going to find it in denominations. You're not going to find it in these, you know, these big organizations. You're not going to find in the state and the medical establishment. And so
certainly not there. No.
Yeah, certainly not there. So once you find people that are like, you have a tinfoil crown, I have a tinfoil crown and my tinfoil crown, I lay at the feet of Jesus, right? He is the Lord over my tinfoil crown. You cling to them. So you guys, you started off as a podcast to bless your church and maybe the surrounding area. And then you started doing the shirts for fun.
The idea was fun until the need arose, and then
You know, it's funny, the Resistance Coffee guys, that was their story too. They started kind of roasting their own coffee for maybe them and people in their church. And then when the COVID madness hit, there was the same thing. They thought, what if we take this and brand it a certain way? And what they found, and I'm sure it's similar in your case, is people started clinging to them also, where it wasn't just about the coffee. People on their Facebook and on their Twitter were posting all these comments about how lonely they've been and how now they've found like-minded people. And it kind of blew up as this haven, right? This public square haven where people could find other like-minded people, which sounds like that's what you guys have expressed as well. You've experienced.
Yeah. I mean, and it's just been really interesting because, like, I mean, even being at the Church at War conference, you know, people are coming up to us and like saying thank you, and I'm like,
thank us. Thank you for what? Kidding me.
Like, our church is 40 people. We both work full time, and you know, we want to stay faithful to Jesus and love
that's
our wives. Like,
it.
That's the long and short of it. Like, there's nothing, you know, incredible here except that God through Christ builds His church. And mm-hmm. that we're all connected in that way, so that when we can come up to Canada, we can hug and pray for and shake hands and have a wonderful family reunion with you all. That Church at War conference was really something special. We were really, really excited to be there. Alberta's really far away, so we wish we could go to that conference too, but that's just really, really far away.
You might say it's just a scotch too far away. We can't quite make it up there.
just a scotch. Well, I'll say this now, although I don't want to plug it too much just yet, but Steve Bainbridge, who's pastor at the Mill Fellowship in Mississauga, he has a conference the same weekend in Ontario. And it's called the Glory and Creation Conference. And so Steve is speaking. Nate Wright is speaking. I'll be speaking. Scott Jacobson, who's a pastor in Hamilton, kept his church open. Josh Mills, who's a pastor in Oakville, same thing. They kept their church open. They're speaking there. And it's, I mean, we're going to be talking about the doctrine of maleness and femaleness. We're going to be talking about issues of gender and sexuality and marriage. And essentially establishing a creational cosmology. So I'm sure that you guys are welcome there. And I'm,
wow, he's just really putting us out there. He's just like,
I may not be, I'll have to double check it, but I don't foresee any problems why you guys can't be there and set up a table. And this might be a good opportunity for you guys to think now about a conference specific shirt having to do with the glory in creation, creational cosmology, God's design, cultural mandate, dominion. You just got to plant that seed, and then I'm almost certain I'll get the okay from Steve. So
I'm mad at Steve for not telling me this. Now I have to text him and see.
That's why it's super de duper fresh. They just dropped their first promo video, and they're just starting to really roll out advertising now.
Okay.
Steve asked for a video.
You know, apologize 1,000 times.
Steve asked for a video from us pastors, just no audio, but just a video of us preaching for the next promo video. And so I tried to find a video of me preaching where I'm the most John Piper in my hand movements and really, really want to let everyone know that I'm so serious about my preaching. So anyways, think Spirit about figures. That. I'm sure we'll figure it out on our end. Yeah. Hey, you guys see that Babylon Bee article? This was years ago. John Piper accidentally lands Boeing 747. Oh, man. So I'm curious to know a little bit more about your church. Tell us about your church and, you know, is it something that you guys started? Give us a little bit of the history of your fellowship. It's a Baptist church, which is great. That's a thumbs up, right? That's a win.
Well, we're technically not affiliated with any denomination as of right now, but we are Baptistic, yes.
Yes.
Yes, we believe
that. Baptist is shorthand for...
not Presbyterian?
Yeah, don't tread on me, fiercely independent kind of deal.
We do believe that it was John the Dunker, and so we do believe in full believer baptism.
Some of those Eastern Orthodox people, they baptize babies, and they believe John was a dunker too.
Hey,
dunking that whole baby in there.
Look, the baby was just breathing a bunch of amniotic fluid.
We're taking
fine.
we're basically, we take the full-size double chocolate donut and dunk it in the coffee, whereas the Coptic Orthodox, they take the mini donuts, and those are the ones they're fully dunking.
Yes, full immersion, but it's the small. It's the donut hole.
It's the donut hole.
Yeah. We call those Timbits here.
Ah, okay, yeah. That's right, because Tim Horton, of course, he's the guy that makes the donuts, so his little bits.
Yes. It is basement.
I don't want to think any more of this.
tell me a little bit about your church.
Our church, we planted. This was our. We just celebrated our 10th year. Is that right?
Yes, we did in November.
It was our 10th year. We planted 10 years ago. Wow, it's just walking through it over and over again because it was 10 years, and we were just kind of talking about. Wow, do you remember what happened 10 years ago? We started out in a house. We planted in a house, and we were at a house for probably about a year, and then
I have no idea.
Maybe it wasn't a year.
I don't know.
And then we rented the space from a dance studio, which just had open classrooms and didn't use their building on Sundays. So we rented space there for the longest time. We had a great relationship with them. COVID, you know, destroyed that,
along with everything else.
Just everything. So recently we've been meeting in a church building that they use it in the morning and we use it in the afternoon. I would definitely say we are growing. We have gained families and our families have kids. And so we have lots of kids and God has gone, we've just gotten so much deeper lately. I've been really, really gracious. And I think part of that is, we had several families through the pandemic that joined our church. Some of them have actually moved away. Escaped New Jersey is probably a good word. But we were thankful to connect with them during that. And again, I think COVID really challenged churches to establish their doctrines, to know what they believed and why they believed it from God's word. And so we're very much of the Reformed mindset. We believe that if God's word says it, then we're going to try to hold as closely as we can to it. Our church ideology is basically just pretty much based off of what that is. We have a covenant family style church. And that is what we have tried to build. And it's been hard. It's hard to build that. There'd be very minimal programming. We focus on God's word being taught, from the youngest to the oldest. And I don't know, what else am I missing? Jesse would like us to adopt, which confession do you want us to adopt?
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know.
He doesn't know.
1489 London Baptist Confession.
Almost. Yeah, it would be the Reformed Baptist Confession. Yeah, the 1689.
Yeah. Sorry.
The second London Baptist Confession, not the first one.
Yeah, see, I don't. Yeah. It's just like I'm, you know, eschatagnostic. I also am.
What if I told you that Spurgeon loved the 1689?
I like Spurgeon. He's a cool dude. He had it rough, man. He got a lot of hate. During his time, you know,
Spurgeon never came to the shores of your country because of all the threats to murder him because of his stance on slavery.
Oh yeah, no, I don't blame him. I mean, he got dragged even in his own country. Like he had plenty of naysayers. For as much as we remember him as a prince of preachers, he got his. Mm-hmm. But he was a great guy, solid word.
Anyway, so yeah. Adopt the 1689. That's good.
Okay. See? Well, there we go. How do we second that? Robert's rules? Do I second that? Do you?
Well, we're both here and we're two or three are gathered. So
there we go. Yeah.
And here's the thing. Because of the difference, two in the United States is worth five in Canada with the exchange.
Oh, that's fair.
We've got like, it's overwhelming. It's, you basically have, full consensus.
This is amazing. Yeah. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
We have done podcasts with our dad, actually. So Justin and I are both elders at our church. Our dad also, Pops, is as he's affectionately known, is another elder. And then we actually just added our first new elder post-founding a couple months ago in Sherman. So we're all elders. We went over, we have a couple podcasts actually that we've done in our lineup that kind of go into how we look at church. So you can scroll back through.
They must have been good because we actually did have people message us and say, oh wow, that was really good. That was really helpful.
They're like, oh, we're glad we're not crazy. And I'm like, we didn't say you're not, because
you could still be crazy.
We could just be
just
crazy
as us.
Yeah. But yeah.
So what you know, you said in your podcast you guys cover kind of cultural stuff. Is it certain themes that you guys keep coming back to? Is just whatever's new and whatever's kind of fresh off the news press? Or do you find your guys, you find you returning to similar themes or ideas in the culture that you're talking about? Like what, I guess,
what even recently, podcast?
what's something that you guys have been spending some time focusing on in terms of kind of cultural, theological issues?
We just wrapped up a 3-part series.
Yeah, that was our first ever 3-part series on the
the good faith debates with Jen Wilkins on should you send your child to public school.
You got to put it in air quotes because people could see the good faith
debate from the Gospel Coalition. Well, that's their whole series. It's called the Good Faith Debates. And so they have this topic was, should you send your child, should Christians send their children to public school? And so we had a lot to say about the fact that Jen Wilkin can seemingly exegete the Bible well in her various studies, but apparently not.
Well, she can tell you how to exegete apply it. But she can't do it herself. Anyway, so yeah, it really depends. To answer your question, Andrew, it really depends. Sometimes we look at what's going on that week. Sometimes we do a news roundup and kind of touch on a couple different stories. Usually it's like, hey, Justin, when do you want to record this week? And he's like, oh, I don't know. When do you work? Because I work night shift. I'm an ER nurse. And I'm like, I tell him. And then it's like, oh, that leaves today. Okay, cool. So we're recording today. And then I'm like, what do you want to talk about?
We do
like,
some news roundups. usually I know
Didn't
what
let
I
would finish. He always cuts me
I know
off.
I cut you off because you're ramble. Like it, we do. We,
do you want me to cut you off every time you ramble, Justin?
It wouldn't be a problem. Probably be a great idea. Actually,
this is exactly what the podcast is like, but
it's not, it's much better than this. I usually have
so
an idea of what I want.
You guys are you're the New Jersey version of the Just Thinking podcast.
Yeah, that's us. Yeah.
About it?
I don't want to be associated with that level of excellence.
Virgil, Daryl, we love you so much. We love you so much.
But we could record 3-hour-long podcasts. We could,
but we definitely tried to not do that. Somebody said that we're more like Daily Wire. So we do take news stories and try to unpack them with a biblical perspective. We like to go back to the men of Issachar. We like to understand the times and know what the people of God should do. It's what we want to try to do that with the podcast. So, I mean, the stories that are in the news are pretty much generally the same because those cultural topics seem to be ever present. We're constantly focused on education constantly because we're men of the word. And that means that we're men of family. And so the family is key and education centers around that. You can't get away from anything that's in the sexual revolution. That's everywhere. So that's anything in the LGBTQIA+- spectrum.
Speaking of the article that we covered where the dude wrote it about his non-binary wife but identifies as with her pronouns, and then their trans daughter who's actually just a biological male, but the trans daughter states that she likes women, so he's just like a regular boy, that likes girls. And it's like, wait a second. And the headline is something like, you know, how my non-binary wife and trans daughter helped me understand my masculinity. It's like, wait, what is going on? It's such a
so wait, hold on. Was that a TGC article?
Actually, it was part of the good faith debate.
No, but it almost was. If it started with how to better understand, then it may be. Oh man.
So here's a question then for you guys. You're serving in churches, and so serving as elders in churches, in many regard, it's not like. You know, it's different than being a paramedic. It's different than being a firefighter. It's different than being a police officer. But in a different way, you know, we're kind of like first responders. A tragedy strikes in the church. Things are going on, and we get that phone call. We're there at the bedside. We're there when suffering hits. So you're very much involved in the lives of people. You're involved in what's going on in the broader culture. You have a finger on what's happening with news so that you can cover it. You know, you want to be like the men of Issachar. You want to understand the times and how you should act. So this is kind of a maybe broad, vague question, but I'm sure this sort of stuff is on your mind. If you are trying to assess the times right now, right, wet finger in the air, what's going on, what are some more broad cultural strokes or movements that you say that Christians especially need to be thinking about, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years? What do Christians need to be aware of, concerned about, planning, preparing for, based on what we see happening in our broader culture? And I mean, whether you want to focus that just on the United States or North America in general, we're similar in a number of ways, but there are some differences between us. For example, just as an example, I don't foresee that the cultural behemoth that's growing here in Canada would lead to, for example, an armed civil war. I could see that being something more in the United States. It's kind of woven into your DNA a little bit, which I don't disparage. I don't say that to be disparaging, but it's woven into your DNA. The history of your country is built upon that foundation. And that just tends to be an ethos. So I could see that being something down there that'd be different than here. But anyways, regardless, we're very similar. So what help us understand, what do we need to be looking for? What do we need to be preparing for in the next 5 to 10 years? What do Christians need to be intentional about doing or understanding?
I think that Christians, I mean, can I go first?
I was letting you go first.
Okay. I didn't know if we needed to rock, paper, scissors this.
No, it's all good.
Okay. All right. Well, you think, and
you need to get the low hanging fruit.
Let me get it, man. I'm right there with,
I can't wait for your brother to bring up Kant and self-expression and identification and really unpacking the last 250 years of philosophical ideas. So you take the time to think through
mostly
that.
Mostly just hammer Marx. I really just want to talk about him.
I really think that Christians need to really rethink and completely blow up their understanding of what it means to parent children and what that means for their education. So, Justin, actually, you pulled your kids from public school a few years ago, and your kids go to a private Christian school. Hannah and I, we homeschool our kids, and we both do that from a deep conviction that education is a direct responsibility of the family sphere of authority that God has given. And I think that especially, at least in America, and I do have some interactions with school teachers and stuff like that, that's in Canada, and I think your situation's worse. But I think that because I think people in America, I think that there's a cultural aspect to people waking up in terms of how bad education is in America, but I don't know if that's happening in Canada. You'd probably know more about that. But anyway, but I think that really, I really think that churches should encourage their people to own the education piece for their family, because sending Christian children to public education spaces doesn't work. We've known this for a very long time, and it continues to be done because it's the default. So, like public, at least in America, it's often thought of like public school is the default. You know, our taxes pay for it. You don't pay anything extra out of pocket, and you put the kid on the bus, and they go to school. But really, our responsibility to our children is so much more than that. And what we have to understand what the purpose of education is, and we use Classical Conversations. I don't know how familiar you are with those guys.
Yep.
But they're great. Their mission is, or their mission statement or vision statement, whatever, is to know God and make Him known. And when you think about education that way, that's kind of how God set. Told his people to go about instructing their kids, right? And like Deuteronomy 6 and the Shema, like there's all of these examples of how to instruct kids. And we need to raise Christian children to know and love and fear the Lord. Because when we don't, we just get the cycle of judges, right? They just keep spiraling into depravity, into depravity, into depravity, until finally it gets so bad that they cry out saying, "Can someone please save me?" But we don't want that for our children. You know, we want them to remember the kindness and the holiness and the graciousness of God, and that education encompasses that too. We need to see God in everything, not in some weird pantheistic way. We're not that, but we need to be able to see God in everything. And God gives parents that educational sphere. We need to own it because we will own it before God. And so we really, really, really have to at least ask the question, what am I doing? And is this the right thing? Is there a good way? Is there a biblical way to approach this? Because that's the way I want to do it. I really think that Christians need to wake up in terms of this educational responsibility, because it's getting absolutely insane. And I'll stop there.
Yes, Jesse's big on education, and if that wasn't apparent, hopefully it is now.
I am big. I am also big on education.
we definitely. I mean, I definitely echo that. Yeah, education is super important. It's the up top big guy. The family structure is key there. If I was going to give an exhortation to Christians about where things are going and what they need to do to be prepared, it's less about a particular issue and more about the fact that you must know the Word of God. That's the problem.
Low hanging fruit. You say, wait, I'm picking low hanging fruit. You're like, read your Bible.
I'm going to kill
no
you.
No one's arguing that important.
Soon as the camera's off. Soon as the camera's off.
Stay with me, Andrew.
I'm going to be going solo on this podcast from now on.
Man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord.
And what I mean is we're the church is struggling with identifying the counterfeits. We don't understand that what the Bible means when it says to be kind one to another. We don't understand what the Bible says when kindness is an aspect of the fruits the spirit brings out in a Christian's life. And so we struggle with the reality of the fact that biblical kindness is embedded in it is love and truth, because you can't have love without truth. And the reality there is our kindness looks at someone who is a transgender individual, looks at someone who struggles with a body dysmorphic illness like that, and says, I love you. You are who God made you to be. It doesn't matter what you want to be or who you've decided you are, but God has already given you an identity. And the best good and the most glory for your life comes through accepting and running to what God has made you to be. That's what kindness is. And we have churches that embrace philosophies that are not biblical, because they think that when the Bible says kind, it means nice like the world means nice. It's some sort of cultural kindness, and it's not the same thing, because we don't know the Word of God and we don't know what it means. And so it's churches. I'm looking at what happened at Covenant Christian School here in the States, and that's an issue of, like, the church is a part of the fact that there are individuals that struggle with all manner of sexual issue, with all manner of identity crisis. And the church is here still affirming and holding their hand and never once looking at them and saying, no, there is something more for you, because they don't even know what the Word of God actually says. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't know that, I mean, we have the Daily Wire is putting out a whole series on Exodus. From a Canadian psychologist and a Jew who does not know the fulfillment of Exodus, he has no framework for actually understanding it. And then other people, some of which have to correct
them. Not only that, a Canadian psychologist who probably believes that the majority of Exodus is myth and allegory.
It's all archetypes to that damn
principle. Yeah, it's not historical narrative.
And that's not,
so you're not going to get anything right out of that.
Right, and it's not to say that I totally appreciate what Jordan Peterson has brought in to light in the culture, in the avenues of free speech, and advocating for people to actually think in a right way, in a logical way. I'm all about that. I love Dennis Prager. I'm so thankful for the fact that he wants truth to be known. But I see Christians or quasi-Christians turning to that Exodus as if they're going to gain some sort of insight into what God's word actually says. And I'm sorry, you're not. You're not going to gain that from those men. Those men do not understand it. And but what would we expect? Our churches aren't teaching the Word of God. When's the last? I mean, we've been in Exodus for almost 3 years now, but most churches won't even touch the book of Exodus anymore.
Almost two. Aren't you on like week 80?
So I'm going to... Well, I'm gonna flip the tables here. I'm gonna be a little uncharacteristic.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be stronger. I'm gonna be stronger than the American guys. Okay, so I have said before on the record, and this, it's funny that you bring up Jordan Peterson in light of what you've just said. I've said before that I believe that Jordan Peterson is one of the most dangerous figures in relation to the Christian church. I think he's one of the most dangerous, harmful figures, and I'll qualify that by saying, because he sprinkles a little bit of Christianity on his kind of psychological pseudo neo-spiritualism. He'll actually confuse and dissuade more people from the truth than if he were just an outright enemy. If he were just to come out and say, I hate God, I hate the Word of God, I hate Jesus, I want nothing to do with him, then at least we know where he stands, and so people can decide whether they take him or not. But the fact that he's going to just sprinkle a little bit of Christianity on his what is very un-Christian, unbiblical thinking will actually be more harmful to the church, in the same way that the prosperity gospel is, that it draws people mm-hmm. to it because it has a veneer of Christianity. But in the long run, it'll lead more people away from truth and not toward truth. And so your point is, I think, spot on, that these men, these figures that kind of dabble in a little bit of Christian thought, so to speak, they expose that if the church had been doing a better job of educating its people in the truth of the scriptures and with a biblical world and life view, mm-hmm. we'd be able to look at a guy like Jordan Peterson and say, well, no. I don't care what he says. He does not believe that the scriptures are the inerrant, infallible, authoritative, sufficient word of God. But they're not able to do that because they haven't been discipled well. So someone like him comes along and all they hear is, I love the Bible, I like this Jesus figure. And in the same way that someone picks up a trash Joyce Meyer book, they're like, oh, this is going to help me understand Jesus better. And so it is a little bit of an indictment on the church that our young Christian men are more drawn to him than they are to, example, their own pastors and elders who should be discipling them in biblical manhood and theology. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's,
so I think that's a big issue.
That's and it's key. There's a lot of Christian churches, and the problem is I can't recognize the Jesus they teach. They're not leading people to the biblical Christ. They're leading people to a version, their version sometimes even, of Christ, but it's not the Christ. It's not the biblical version of Christ. And that's what's scary. That's why it's scary. But I also believe that, I don't know Canadian history is, obviously, I don't know Canadian history, so I'll just leave it at that. That sentence is complete. But in America, we do have a history of periodic revivals that often involve repentance. This is not to talk about what the most recent revival in America everyone was pointing to. I'm not speaking of that. I mean, like, you know, actual revivals where repentance and new life seems. but I say that to say.
You mean like the Azusa Street revival, right?
I'm not that one. No.
We're talking. Yeah, that the Azusa Street revival is like the birthplace of modern Pentecostalism.
No, not like that. I mean, like,
you know, we're talking about the Great Awakening.
The Second Great Awakening.
The good parts of the Second Great Awakening.
Oh, not the bad parts. We always leave the bad parts behind.
Not the bad parts.
Just leave them. They don't exist. But I mean, we have a history of the ability to repent and turn, and I'm hopeful in that because I see churches, many churches, planting all 10 toes in the ground and saying they're not going to move anymore. They're not going to give in. And I actually think that even this most recent tragedy at Covenant Christian School is one that I think can help awaken a lot of churches to the reality that spiritual warfare isn't a tickle fight. It's going to be something that has to be won, through hard fought battles. And that doesn't mean armed revolution. That means actually taking
necessarily.
It's not explicitly mean, armed revolution, but it does mean, that we are in the middle of a battle and that all of those words of warfare in the scripture were not put there by accident. They were put there intentionally. God is the God of hosts. God is the God of angel armies. And that is how he is described very often throughout the entirety of the Old Testament. He leads an army and we have a spiritual war that we are fighting. We have spiritual armor that we wear. We are to treat others as soldiers, fellow soldiers at arms. It's not a game. And I think we've played too long at church house instead of playing too long at church soldier. And that's what we are kind of awakening to, that we have to have our sword sharp and know our word and go out and be ready to have hard conversations and hold high the objective source of our faith in God. Because when we do, the world, look, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. There is no truth in our culture. Everything is subjective. And when you're actually able to give winsome truth, winsome objective truth, people, they know it. They know inside that they were designed for objective truth. God, that God-sized void is there in every person, and it's a real thing. So a little bit of truth, I'm not saying you have to be the world's greatest apologist, just know, just begin to know the truth of God and begin to share it. And you will be like a wellspring in the middle of the desert to many of the people that you interact with on a daily basis.
So that's, I mean, that actually leads itself seamlessly by way of what would have otherwise been an awkward segue into wanting to talk a little bit about our relationship, because everything that you've said is incumbent upon the church to adopt and think about and be serious about is it's exactly the sort of work that we do here. This is in part why Liberty Coalition Canada exists. It kind of was birthed out of a number of pastors and other kind of people who were seeing what was going on with the state overreach and seeing the shut churches down, and we get to dictate the terms of worship and saying no, that's not your role. This is Christ's role only, and that the word of God is our highest authority. And we will defy the state, we will obey Christ, and we will teach our people to do the same. And so our work for the last number of years has been not just helping to support Canadians by fighting legal battles for them, not just helping to engage in the political sphere by training people to run in local politics, not just by working with churches and helping to equip them, and also with our news and analysis and our podcast stuff. This whole thing is helping Canadians and Christians understand what's going on in the world around us, what's actually happening, kind of pulling back the curtain. And despite the fact that the man there says, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, we're telling everyone, no, there is a man behind the curtain. It's a spiritual war. Satan is the enemy of the church. He makes war against the saints. And our job is to awaken people to the reality of what's going on and how to be prepared. So we're all about that. That's obviously very important to you guys, and so this is just one of the reasons why we've decided to partner with you guys, LCC partnering with Carpe Fide. And so quickly before we get into that, though, just tell us a little bit about the new shirt that you guys have just put out, and a little bit about the thinking behind it.
Oh, yeah.
If we remember, I have a picture that I can't load up now, but if we remember, we'll get our post-production to put that picture up right now for
this
people
is
to
the
see
time.
So they can look at. I actually put a collage together of the four of the five pictures you sent me. It's quite professional. I'm sad that we can't see it right now, but tell us about, because I think this fits, right? The idea behind the shirt, it works well with what we're talking about. So tell us a little bit about it.
You're the designer, bro. This is
okay, good. I just was making sure you weren't going to start talking and then never finish talking.
I mean, it was all my idea, but you made it happen.
Yeah, so this shirt actually, so we are donating proceeds from this shirt to our friend Alex Rodriguez. He runs, he planted a church as well, so he's a pastor, but he runs a ministry called the Men's Muster out of Illinois, like
Chi-town,
suburb of Chicago area. It's a dark place. So proceeds of that go to him, and we actually just had him and a couple of our other friends, John Cooper from the Godly Grunts. We invited them to our church to do a conference called the Vignettes of Valor, and we launched this shirt there to the attendees.
It was a men's conference.
It was a manly conference
because we can identify genders. It was a men's conference.
I know what a man is, and it was his conference.
Anyway, the shirt is really awesome. So the main crux of the design is serpents, beheaded serpents around swords. It's basically the design at its core. On the front, we have the Men's Muster logo and the Carpe Fide logo.
With a sword and two
headless snakes. On the back, it says, "Take courage, slay dragons." And it has a snake wrapped around what would have been...
what would that have been? It would have been medieval English sword. It's not quite a claymore. It's not quite the same length. It's more of an English sword.
Agreed.
And we took the head off of the snake and actually put it at the bottom of the sword. So the sword kind of stabs the head of the snake. We wanted something very aggressive. It's also a lovely shade of Kelly green. So if you're in that, still in that St. Paddy's Day kind of motif, this is a perfect shirt for you as well.
But I mean, who is anymore? We're definitely on to, I don't know what's next.
Easter
Day?
Is next. Oh, yeah, it's Easter. Literally next.
I forgot about Easter.
You forget about Easter. It's like the, I don't celebrate it like a holiday, like one of those holidays.
Jesus rises from the dead.
I celebrate it as the most prime of days, and like just
so you have this, you have a limited edition shirt where the snake is green but the sword has a purple ribbon around it.
No, it's actually baby blue Easter. And there's a couple of eggs.
There's
little
eggs.
Color multicolored eggs hidden in the shirt. They're literally Easter eggs.
That's deeply theological. So hopefully we'd have shown a picture of that shirt in the overlay. You're wearing it right now, by the way. It's blocked a little bit, right? We can see it. There it is right there.
I don't know which way to go, but yeah,
really sounded like those movements was, they were difficult.
Everything is better with sound effects, Andrew. Right. You haven't realized this yet. You missed
those movements.
So we partnered together, Carpe Fide and Liberty Coalition Canada. So what that means, it is a beautiful partnership. It's an international partnership. Where it goes one way because, again, we can't come into your country.
No. So, it's like when two hands come across the screen like this.
You know how much I love
them. They come across.
You know what it's like? It's like that scene in Predator when Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers link arms. Yeah. Someone should make that meme. I'm going to try to make that meme.
Oh, yes.
And
Liberty Coalition.
And LCC and then Carpe Fide. And I got to think about what the hands clasping is. Something. Hmm. I don't know, something like down with satanic state. Anyway, so I'll think about something good.
Just be careful. So, I've been told white people can't use any memes that have anyone black in it now because that's
I don't really consider myself white in part because being Southern Italian.
Oh, the Sicilian in you comes out, eh?
Yeah, I'm Mediterranean and there's a little bit of North African mixed ancestrally. And so I really don't consider myself white. Right, I'm kind of somewhere
in the
middle.
Dude, you're white adjacent. Get over yourself.
But my worldview definitely makes me white adjacent. That's 100% sure.
I'm trying to figure out what that means. Does that mean it makes Vodi Bakum white too?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh wow.
But like, I don't buy like pre-made lasagnas that are frozen and heat them up in the oven.
Ew. I mean, who does that?
My sauce doesn't come like pre-mixed in a jar or a can.
Your gravy comes in real good, huh?
So that's what I mean. I'm not white in that regard. So anyways, part of the partnership means that for people who are American listeners, and we're very grateful that we're a part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. And so we've kind of grown our American audience with some of those brothers down there. And so for our American audience, what we're going to offer them is a 10% off discount code when they go to the Carpe Fide American shop. And any of our Canadian listeners who are still allowed into the country or who have an American PO box like I do, drive right over the border, pick up my stuff because I can purchase it much cheaper in the States, it's also available for them. We're still hammering out all the specifics and we will make sure that we let our audience know by email and social media and even on our shows what that actual either affiliate link or coupon code will be. But for anything purchased from the Carpe Fide America store, they're going to get that 10% off. And for the Carpe Fide Canada store, that's just relaunched recently. So I guess tell us a little bit about that, kind of what's going on there, and even maybe a little bit of a brief history of how that came about, who took on that mantle, and where things are at right now.
Yeah, sure. So about the time of the trucker protest last year, our friends in Nova Scotia were attempting to try to make the shirts available in Canada without having to be smuggled. Smuggling was nice. It was a nice feature, but it was a lot of work.
It's also, you know, smuggling. So it's also that.
But so they made the attempt there. They sold some shirts kind of surrounding from the small fringe minority statement. I don't know if you are familiar with that shirt, but and then it just kind of got to be too much. But recently, our friend David, who's also in Nova Scotia, he runs a podcast called the Church Awake Media. You can find him on everywhere, I guess. But he was like, no, I think I really want to try to get this back up and running. You know, because we appreciate him and the work that he's trying to do, and we chat, we talk. So he took that on for the Canadian side, and we're not like a traditional business where, like, you know, Canadians can buy on our site. It's all one site and we ship it over to Canada because you're paying through the nose for shipping and customs and all sorts of craziness. You know, when you buy through the, when our Canadian friends buy from the Carpe Fide Canada shop, you're helping to support David also and his work, and also not paying customs and through the nose in shipping. So the selections are a little bit different. We're hoping to do some limited edition stuff just on the Canada side, just for you guys, because, I mean, heck, we can, and that'd be cool. So, yeah, we look to do that in the future. But as of right now, the shirt that I'm wearing currently, our brand spankiest new shirt, is available for pre-order on the Carpe Fide Canada site. And it's super cool. I really like this shirt, actually.
So the podcast. So other than finding you guys on, you know, kind of podcast catchers, carpefide.com, that's where people can. So carpefide.com/shop, that is where you get to select the American store, the Canadian store, for people to check out your podcast. Where's the best place to send them?
It would probably be carpefide.com/episodes. You can link into anywhere. We're the only Carpe Fide.
Yes, because it should be Carpe Fidem. The Latin was not in the right declension.
Yes,
so because of that, it's Carpe Fide, and therefore there is no other Carpe Fide. Yes. If you type in,
so Carpe Fide, by the way, give us a quick what's the meaning? What does that mean,
sure,
in Latin?
So,
what's the deal behind the name?
So carpe diem is a very common phrase that people would know. It means to seize the day. Well, carpe fidem would be to seize the faith, but we didn't put the M.
We like to say carpe fide.
Take hold of the faith delivered once for all for the saints.
Exactly.
Like that kind of,
yes, yes. To yeah, seize that faith that has come to us through our sovereign Lord, and to not let go, to hold on tight.
So, carpefide.com, we'll everything you can everything. Find there slash episodes is the show slash shop. You choose the American shop or the Canadian shop. If you're in Canada and you are not allowed over the border because you happen to be a pure blood, as we like to say, then what we want to encourage you to do is to still purchase at the Carpe Fide Canadian shop. You're not going to get that discount code, but what we hope to do is we hope to help grow the Canadian side of the business and support David. And the goal would be that if we buy stuff from there, we support what's happening on this side of the border. The more and more that grows, the more and more the likelihood that we could venture into something more like a coupon code discount. But we want to grow big. We want to support like-minded businesses.
Amen.
Right? We want to stop giving our money to people that hate us and make terrible clothing. Yeah, and we awful. Want to support like-minded businesses and brothers and help grow them. So that's the case. If you're in the States, or if you happen to be in Canada and you can drive over, you got a P.O. box, then you can shop at the Carpe Fide America shop and you can get your 10% off. We want to support what you guys are doing. You guys have been so kind to us here in Canada. Churches and brothers who've stayed open, who've tried to be faithful to Christ. You have been one of the few American brothers shining a light on it, exposing it, praying for us, supporting us. And so we obviously want to see you guys blessed. We want to see your businesses grow, and we want people to avail themselves of, I mean, just sweet
that's really it
clothing.
I do want to say,
you have to wear
good looking stuff. Yeah,
you have to wear clothes. You might as well wear edgy Christian clothes that are really good quality. You know firsthand, Andrew, the quality of these shirts, and they are.
Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted to say. Like, so our clothes, our shirts are specifically designed to make you have an awkward conversation at the grocery store. But additionally, they're also to be shirts that you want to wear, because I like to wear shirts that I like, not just wear shirts. So
Justin's very particular about his appearance.
The quality of these shirts are top shelf. They last very well, and our printer is fire. He is like these shirts last and last and last.
I still have my original.
Yeah, I still
come
have
my, take it. Pulpit
I still
shirt.
Have my original.
It
come
is
and
not
take
faded
pulpit.
Or stretched.
No,
it is amazing.
A pro do know that a pro tip on buying a graphic T-shirt is to turn it inside out when washing. Just FYI. That's a pro tip.
I have never done that, but it's still not
I
faded.
Often forget, but still, that is a pro tip. But, yeah, you,
so what's
you'll
the,
enjoy it.
Wait, what's the science behind that? I mean, not that I deny you. I mean, I am one to trust the science, but what's the – I want to follow the science. What's the science behind that?
It just adds that extra level. By turning it inside out, you're protecting the actual custom print of the design on the inside. Yeah. So it just gives it an extra layer, you know, from rubbing against other clothing in the washer as it's going around.
But isn't
by
it rubbing against itself?
By turning your shirt inside out, you get that extra level of protection.
That's right.
So that it lasts extra long.
That's yeah.
Sometimes you have to turn it inside out two or three times.
Sometimes you have to put two or three shirts on to give you that extra level of protection from the cold weather, which can come in through the shirt in the nasal pharynx area.
Sometimes you can get your dogs a shirt, but make sure you rip out their vocal cords.
Fauci is like the awful seed of the two of us because he's American and he's Italian. And so really, if the worst of us came together, it would be Dr. Fauci.
Senator Paul, you do not know what you're speaking about.
Yeah. I want to say on the record, how dare you say what's true right now?
I did not spend a lot of time in Turkish bathhouses investigating AIDS. Anyway.
Oh, man. Off the rails. So, carpefide.com. Follow the podcast. Go listen to their stuff. Buy their shirts. You guys are out of tumblers right now, which is a little bit sad. But it's a sweet tumbler. I have the exact same tumbler because the Resistance Coffee guys use that exact same style. So hopefully that gets stocked in. But you guys have shirts and stickers and bookmarks, which I actively use for my daily
bookmark.
Readings. I use the bookmarks. It is a good – my kids saw the sword, and they're like, ooh, I want that. I'm like, I love you guys. Yeah. I'm not giving you sword bookmark. It's going to be garbage. It's going
to
end up in
trash.
We have got to get the Italian Stallion some more bookmarks. For crying out loud.
My kids, they saw the sword. They're like, this is amazing. So I got the stickers on my laptop. I use the bookmarks, the shirts. I mean – I wear them. They're great. So go support our brothers in New Jersey. Buy their stuff. Again, if you're in Canada, go to the Canadian shop. Help grow this business. One of the things we've seen in the last number of years is the importance of not just supporting like-minded businesses, but helping to grow these entrepreneurs and build these parallel economies so that we can actually support one another. We want like-minded people to succeed, and we want to build our businesses so that we can do more, so that we can use what God has given us to bless one another. So support the Carpe Fide Canada shop. And if you're an American listener, then you happen to get a little bit of a discount for now, but hopefully that won't be the only place to get one forever. So
for sure.
Guys, I'll give you the last word before I wrap up. You have a captive, engaged, freedom-minded audience that is probably going to go and buy some shirts now because – I mean, otherwise they're just going to look terrible with whatever it is that they're wearing.
That's right. Honestly.
So last word, guys, throw it out.
Honestly, we're just really thankful. we're really thankful for you guys.
Yeah, we're really grateful.
So appreciative of the work that you guys do and for all of the faith and freedom loving Canadians that follow the Liberty Coalition. I'm just happy to continue talking with you guys. I'm happy to continue to support in whatever way God avails to us, the strong, the true church in Canada. We would love to see a reformation, a revitalization up in Canada as well as in as much as we want to see it in our own South Jersey area.
Amen.
So we just want to continue to support you guys. We love you all.
Yeah. And
That's a shirt for you guys. We long to see the Maple Reformation.
Reformation.
Well, we would have to find we have to get better at getting it beyond the maple curtain of the
right.
It's hard. It's almost great. Like it's just like Western Berlin there. It's hard to get.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's hard. I would encourage, you know, anyone that wants to engage the podcast, find us. We're our most social active page is on Instagram. So definitely find us, message us. We'd love to talk to chat. Hopefully you could find the podcast beneficial. And if you do like the shirt, we would love for you to get it. And we'd love for you to use that discount and continue to support not just us, but also the Liberty Coalition, because you guys are kicking butt up there. And we're thankful for you guys. You know, I'm only sad that when I was in Tennessee, I didn't get to visit Michael's church. That's sad about.
Kentucky?
Tennessee. He's in Kentucky.
I meant Kentucky.
Yep. He meant Kentucky.
I did mean that.
Well, are you guys planning on heading out to or attending the FLF conference in Kentucky at the ARC
Encounter? That is a touchy subject. We would love to, but we need to figure out if we can.
It's mostly touchy with our wives at this point. So,
do you have any help for that? Is there a business that you partner with that can help us get our wives go to conferences?
Do I have any advice for touchy issues regarding your wives? No, I do not have any. I have nothing to say about that.
What a smart man. He's a wise man. Beyond your years.
Do you really want to get me thrown into Canadian gulag? Like, I need to be. They're monitoring our media. Please don't get me in trouble.
Canadian archipelago.
Oh. I'm actually planning, as long as your president lets pure bloods in the country, I was actually talking with my wife. We're planning on doing a family vacation down there, do the ARC Encounter, do the Creation Museum.
It's worth it, dude. It's awesome.
I know. And the nice thing is, anyone who goes to the FLF conference gets those things at a discounted rate. They get the tickets to the ARC Encounter and the Creation Museum at a special discounted rate if you buy the conference tickets.
Hmm. Yeah, we might be reaching out to our contact over there at the Fight Laugh Feast.
Well, you know, if your listeners help support us and buy some shirts, maybe we can actually
It'll be
an easier sell.
So,
well, there is always one thing that we want to let people know, like the true church. We say it at the end of every episode.
That's right. We want them to seize the faith.
Nice. That's cool. Brothers, thank you so much for joining us. I've enjoyed this, and we're gonna return the favor. I'm gonna make sure very soon to add a little bit of spicy maple syrup flavor to your podcast when we can do that. I hope to reduce my goal whenever I'm on someone else's show is to reduce viewership, but for the good reason.
I just want to say, right? I've already got questions. I got them lined up, buddy. You're not ready.
Yeah.
You're not ready.
I just want, I want to separate the chaff out from every podcast. That's what
bro, we do that. We already do that, man.
I'm going to tell you guys a story when we go off air. I don't want to say it on the podcast, but I'm going to tell you a story about an interview that I did and a specific section that was cut out of the interview that went public. Yep.
This has been excellent. You've been a blessing.
Again, carpefide.com. Thanks so much for joining us, everyone, on this episode of Liberty Dispatch Interviews. Until next time, Galatians 5:1.
Thanks for tuning in to Liberty Dispatch, a united front to restore liberty and justice in Canada. Please subscribe to our podcast and Rumble channel, as well as visit our website at www.libertycoalitioncanada.com.
Friends, we're posting new content multiple times every week throughout our various shows on this channel. So you're going to want to subscribe to it and hit that notification bell. That way you stay up to date with everything that we're releasing here with the Liberty Coalition Canada.